Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here with us tonight. And we want to thank the One Institute for bringing us here to be with you each and every Thursday, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And remember, we get rebroadcast by LA Talk Radio on both channel 1 and 2. And you can always download the show if for some reason you missed it. Call in numbers 323-203-0815. And Dr. Pat, you are live on the air.
I'm glad. I'm waiting to serve.
Well, I guess I'll tell you this then. Our wonderful Ronan on switchboard has told me that we have calls coming in. Shall we wager go for it?
Let's go for it.
Let's do it. Awesome. Thank you so much, Ronan. You're amazing. And we are having a call connected right now as we speak. Let's see what's happening.
Hello?
Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hello.
So a guy is seeing me, and he is in an open relationship. And from the beginning, okay. He did tell me about it. So for the past month that he has been seeing me, I kind of felt like we were, I guess, just friends, you know, like when we would go out, I would pay for my stuff. He would pay for his stuff. There was no touching. There was no
convenience. You had a convenient relationship. Convenient is where you both do chores and you both contribute money. Codependence is where one person takes care of two people. The third relationship is a covenant. That's where two people agree that one will be the breadwinner that pays and the other one will be the homemaker that makes life fun by being nice and providing a scene for the other. So you have somebody that wants a convenient relationship.
Right. So then, so that was about maybe the first month of us getting to know each other. And then for the past month, it just kind of changed. So now I'm so confused. Because he wants to, like, hold hands, he's, like, kissing me, and he did ask for sex, and I, you know, I told him that, thank you, I went through your whole thing, and I told him, you know, I can't do that unless I have, you know, a commitment.
But
and so his response was...
Wait a minute. When people want an open relationship, they are committing to polyamorous multiplicity. So you may be incompatible with him because you may want singular monogamy, but if he and his major woman want an open relationship, that's their business and you get to vote in or out.
Right. So I get that, and I'm still trying to decide where I am, if that is what I want. But it's, well, you know, when I told him that, no, I think right now I don't want to have sex because if I do, I'll get attached to you and that whole thing. And his response was that, you know, he is committing to me and her, but she's moving out of town in a few months because she's gotten a job, so she's moving.
So when
so that's kind of where we end.
Renegotiate.
Right. Okay. I guess
so
we can do that. But
no
the other
intercourse until she's gone and he can do a monogamous sexual and social relationship with you if he wants.
Okay. All right. I can tell him that. The other part, I guess, is how do I bring up the topic of, I guess, you know, like I mentioned, so far it's been, you know, French, kind of like friendship phase where he pays his way, I pay my way. And, you know,
darling,
he's asking like, hey, do you want to make plans?
No, you've already set the standard by contributing, haven't you?
Yeah.
Well, then you have voted in favor of a convenient relationship.
I don't know if I want that, though.
Well, then, before you go out with him on a date that will cost money, you have to say, one moment, I've got to clarify something for my sake as well as yours. When you ask me out, or I ask you out, remember, right now he's courting you, but you haven't agreed to be monogamous and continuous and long-term because you haven't. But he said, maybe in a couple of months we'll do that when my present monogamous girlfriend, polyamorous girlfriend, moves out of town. So you cannot go out with him without clarifying that when he invites you out, you do not want to pay for your half because it's a courtship and you want to be courted nicely. And you see what he says about that. You see?
Okay. How about...
One person, I have no problem with women choosing to be men and asking men out. But when women ask men out, then they have a responsibility to pay for that date. Or before you go out, you say, I'm not comfortable paying for both of us. So what do you think? Or how do you feel, depending on whether you're a man or a woman, for right now, we each pay our own way.
Okay.
So that's what you do. You've already gone out and given him the impression that a convenience is okay with you, which means he will set that as a precedent and you will be expected to pay your way, period, which is okay if you both agree to it.
Right. Yeah. Okay. How about
are you willing to negotiate a convenience? Right now, it's not even eligible because...
I think right now it's fine. Yeah, I think right now it's fine. Yeah.
But before you have sex,
and I guess,
then you'll clarify this. Right?
Right. I'll have to clarify. Yes, I would clarify with him. And I guess that kind of answers my second question, which was, you know, I can make... The second question was, you know, he kind of tells me like, oh, do you want to make plans, you know? Because we've kind of gotten into this thing where he makes the plans if we're doing something outdoorsy, and then I make the plans if we're doing something in the city.
Then you have already
started to
physically set a standard or precedent. Do you want to be the indoor manager of creative designs? Do you feel comfortable with that?
Yeah, actually, for that part, I'm okay with that. I just wasn't sure if I was getting into my masculine when I do that.
No, you're not. Everybody's masculine and everybody's feminine. So if you are interested in a convenient social relationship, it sounds like he wants shared finances and shared planning. So
yeah.
You're already starting to use it. But you haven't consummated the relationship. What?
Right, yeah. I was just agreeing with you.
Okay. So at some point before you have intercourse, oral, anal, or vaginal, before you have intercourse, you've got to negotiate whether you're going to be convenient financially, whether you're going to be convenient where you live. If you live together, you split the bill. Whether you're convenient in time or in designing sexual and non-sexual pleasure.
Okay.
In my book, Getting to I Do, it's chapter 14. Mm-hmm. So I have no problem with people being in a convenience, equal splitting or shared splitting, codependent, where one person takes care of the other person. And the third one is a covenant where they agree that one person is going to pay the bills and the other person is going to create a home environment that's pleasurable, sensual, sexual.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had your iffins, which style of relationship would you choose?
You know, I don't know. I think maybe the convenience.
Would you do that all the way through marriage, or would you do it just through courtship, or when?
Just through courtship. And I think it also depends on the guy. Like, because if I'm making more than him, then I'm okay with convenience. If he's making more than, I would prefer the third kind, where I'm in charge
covenant?
Of, like, he's doing the work. Yeah, the covenant.
Okay, so I just want you to be aware that all three styles, for example, there are people who are wounded in war or sick or whatever, and they too want to be loved. But whoever loves them has got to probably be codependently responsible for a lot, you know, in the relationship because the other person can't do it.
Right.
So each relationship can be negotiated convenient to start with, go to covenant when you get married and have a couple of kids, and when you grow old, you may go codependent where one of you is basically going to take better care of the other person than they to you. In other words, you're going to push them in their wheelchair, so to speak.
Right, yeah. Plus, I mean, I guess I've dated guys both ways, and I think I definitely feel more comfortable with the covenant. Like, you know, when the guy takes me out
Except
and all that.
There are some nice people that don't have enough money to do that, but they're nice enough people that you might be willing to be the covenant. I don't want people to think that because a person is a man or a woman, they automatically, like, women don't all know how to cook, and men do not all know how to fix anything. It depends on the individual and the negotiation.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Pat, for clarifying.
You're welcome.
I'll definitely have talk
Good.
With him. Thank you.
Thanks, caller.
Welcome.
Bye. Bye-bye. All right. Okay. Very interesting. Here we go. We've got another caller coming in, and we're getting hooked up right now. Here we go.
Hello.
Hi, caller. You're on there with Dr. Alan Live. Do you have a question?
Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm calling because I'm in a 12-step program, and I met this guy who online who is not in a 12-step program. In fact, he's incredibly responsible person, never done drugs, doesn't like to drink, has a very responsible job, pretty successful guy, and 3 kids he's very responsible for. And so I'm concerned about sharing the fact that I'm incredibly engaged with this recovery program with him, because I'm afraid that he's going to just think it's not a match. But I'm wondering if you have any suggestions around that, Dr. Pat, because is there a way that I can talk about it? Do you think there would be more?
Yes. How long have you dated? How long has he dated you? Or you? Who's the man here? Who chases who?
He's chasing me.
All right. So you're the egg and he's the sperm.
He's 51 years old.
So. What's that?
What? He's 51 years old, and I asked him if he wanted to be respected or cherished, and he said cherished because respected sounded too dictatorial to him.
All right, so he wants to be cherished. Do you want to be the respectable one?
As long as he brings home the bacon, I'm fine with it. I mean, I'm bringing
all right,
bacon.
All right, but the bacon is not being discussed yet. Have you had sex with him already?
No, we've only been dating, not even a week. Just met the guy. We've been talking on the phone every day, though, for long periods.
All right,
so.
You're making friends. You're just at the beginning of a relationship. The first 3 months, people are doing the best they can. Second 3 months, they're having slips here and then. Third 3 months, they're starting to play games, or they're playing games, and there's time for you've got to negotiate deals. Now, at this point, your private membership in the AA or whatever program you're in is your business, unless he offers you a drink. What are you in a program for? Eating, drugs, what?
Food, and it's basically everything. I mean, I've come from drug addiction.
You're an addictive personality. Okay.
Yeah, big time.
So you go to a number of meetings. What's your major meeting? What's your major use?
Food.
Okay. Is the food lettuce or is it carbohydrates?
Flour and sugar.
It's sugar. Now, you understand that that may mean that you are genetically sensitive to glucose, and that anything with it will trigger you into eating more of it. Is that your style?
Exactly. Allergy
okay.
Triggers the craving. Yes.
I got it. There's a wonderful book by Kay Shepherd, From the First Bite, that shows the effect of glucose. The brain loves to live on glucose, but if it's defective genetically, it's going to do weird things with glucose, like drink or sugar or whatever. So you are just dating now, and you haven't gotten up to the we want to make love and be in a relationship and all that good stuff. When it gets there, before you consummate, you make an appointment. You know the tools that I've made?
Yes, I know the tools. What if he asks me why I'm busy on a night where I'm going to a committed meeting, Pat?
Then you tell him, I'm going to a meeting that I attend. Period. I'm going to a meeting. And he says, what kind of a meeting? What would you say?
I told him that I'm a member of an eating disorder organization that does service. And he wanted to know more. And I was hesitant. I'm hesitant to tell him any more.
What else is there to tell? I'm sensitive to sugar.
I'm sensitive, yeah.
It's called the truth.
Yes. What does he ask me why I need to eat at certain times or, you know, certain types of food? I can't eat ethnic food, for example.
I'm not a diabetic, but I deal with food as if I were.
Yeah. Great, Pat. That's really good. I'm not a diabetic. Okay.
But
anything else?
No, I'm not a diabetic, but I have to take care of how I eat glucose.
Yeah. My question is, Pat, do you see, I mean, the thing is like there's a stigma associated with addiction, and it's like, I just feel like he's going to think I'm like mentally ill or I'm not worthy or something. And I'm wondering if you, I mean, how can I talk about it in a way that is more empowering or confident?
How about even if scientific? I have a problem with glucose.
Yeah.
If you want a book, there's a book called From the First Bite by Kay Shepherd.
Yeah.
That's, you know, handing him AA might be a little heavy.
That might be a little heavy, yeah.
Then why not hand him a book that's lighter but truthful?
Yeah.
That's why I said, I'm not a diabetic, but I have to take care of how I handle sugar.
Yeah. Okay.
That's called the truth.
That's the truth. It's not just sugar, though, Pat. I'm allergic to flour and quantities. I mean, I can't, there's other things. Like, I just can't eat because I'll start binging.
Well, also, too, as a diabetic, because I am a diabetic.
Oh, you are a diabetic.
Yes,
well,
I am.
Wonderful.
What?
Then you can say,
No.
To be careful about what?
No, this is Kelly. As a diabetic, to the caller, you should understand that diabetics also have to limit their intake of flour, carbohydrate, refined.
I understand that. I'm just saying that people don't think ill of diabetics.
I agree.
But
that's what I'm telling. That's why
of overeaters.
That's why I'm telling our caller that is also a completely acceptable situation, controlling your carbohydrate intake, much like a paleo diet.
Yeah, it's like a paleo diet. But I weigh and measure my food. That's the other thing.
It doesn't matter what you do to control your sensitivity. It's just that you put it in a light that's more scientific than psychologically unworthy oriented.
Right. Scientific rather than I'm mentally ill, in other words, is what you're saying.
Yeah, right.
It's definitely for your health.
Yeah, it's for my health. Okay, I kind of did tell him that because I told him the reason I originally started was because I got diagnosed with a rheumatoid arthritis, and I was, long story, but basically I needed to get off of flour and sugar to stop those symptoms, and I couldn't stay off of these addictive foods by myself. I needed help, and so I got help in this program, and it's like a support group. But
that sounds like a wonderful background, but it also is the same as I'm not a diabetic, but I have to take care of my food for medical reasons.
Yes. Medical, exactly. Oh, Pat, you're such a hero. Thank you for saving my life again and again. I'm going to look forward to telling you more about
I appreciate your saying that, but the truth of the matter is I could lecture everybody on the planet, but everybody who does what I say is taking care of themselves.
Yes. And I've learned so much from you. It's really helped me. Thank you. I'll let you go.
Thank you for saying so.
Person.
My pleasure.
Amazing. That's really cool because it is for your health, whether you're diabetic or not, and you're watching what you do, you're watching how you're treating your body. It's scientifically sound advice. Really amazing. Good. We have another call coming in.
Let's do it.
All right. Here we go. Let's see. Caller, are you... we lost that caller. So I'm sure our wonderful Ronan will get him back for us. There we go. Hey, caller, you're on the air live with Dr. Pat Allen. Do you have a question?
Oh, my God. Thank you so much. I don't have a question. I was calling because I was having trouble getting onto the radio, and I was wondering if there was something wrong with the radio, but thank you so much. thank you, Dr.
No,
Pat
I think
Allen.
I think we're working okay. So, yeah. So what's shaking?
Thank you. I've just had some sessions with Dr. Pat Allen recently, and I honestly don't feel like I have any questions today. Dr. Pat, you've been extremely helpful in the last couple of weeks with me, and I wish I did have a question right now, but I don't.
Well, we'd
okay,
love that
that's
you,
very honest.
We love that you're sharing that things are going well. We appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Okay, here we go. We've got another call. I'll remind everybody, 323-203-0815 is a number to dial to get to talk to Dr. Pat Allen. Even if you just want to say hi, like our last caller, pretty nice. And we have another call coming in, Dr. Pat.
And men are welcome. Men are welcome. Men are welcome.
Most certainly. We have...
My last book came out. It's called It's a Man's World and a Woman's Universe.
Oh, callers, remember, if you called in and you've hopped into the queue, we will be calling you back. So if you don't recognize a number that comes on your phone, it's probably us putting you onto the air. So if
Hello?
You get that. Hey, caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Pat Allen. Do you have a question?
Of course I do. Kevin, this is our second time around. We broke up about 10 months ago, and we've reconciled in the past 2 months.
Good.
He's very... Yeah, I'm trying to let go of my man. To hold on to this man. The problem for me is I have about 10 to 15 pounds that I'm working on losing, but he seems to kind of nag me a little bit about it. And it kind of hurts my feelings, and I want to respect him and his wish because he makes the money, he's an alpha, and I want to stay in my place. But it's getting to the point where I'm becoming really self-conscious and I'm becoming uncomfortable. I don't know how to address this with him.
Do you know the tools I created? Do you know the communication tools? I'm a transactional analyst.
I do, and I make an appointment.
Say. What?
No, go ahead, please.
Make an appointment. Honey, I have something to say to you that's a little uncomfortable. When would it be convenient for you to listen to me, hopefully today? What would he say back to you?
He'd say, right now.
You know how much I really appreciate you and how you treat me. Most of the time, I feel very cherished for my sensitivities. But I'm finding that you are speaking about my weight issue, which is 10 to whatever it is. What is it?
About 10 to 15 at the most. Just
10 to 15 pounds.
Yeah.
You have every right to not find that attractive. But the truth of the matter is, I need to be comfortable to release it. We women, when we're under stress, we hang on to calories as if we were having babies. So I want to know if you can accept accepts me as I am 2 months, 2 months, 2 months, until you either leave me or I'm where I want to be physically. You see, scientifically, when a woman is under stress, her apistat, which is her furnace for her calories, literally slows down, and she gets more energy out of calories when she's under stress than when she's happy, because when she's happy, she burns the calories. When she's under stress, nature thinks she may be pregnant and she needs to make super use of her calories. So you cannot fight with the man that's insulting you about your stress to his communication, but you can inform him by using a tool, making an appointment. Honey, I want to talk to you about something that's upsetting me that I want to share with you, having to do with my 5 to 10 pounds. Would it be convenient for you to hear me out now? Yes or no? Well, it's a matter of discipline. If you did, I know you have that approach, but are you willing to listen to what I'm saying about my feelings that may impact my ability to let go of these pounds? Okay, what is it? Do you see what I'm saying?
It's beautiful. It's so good.
But it's scientific. Do you realize that the apistat sets the temperature of burn? Happy women don't gain weight like unhappy women.
Oh. I've never heard that.
Yeah, well, it's there.
It makes sense. Yeah. Second question is I know you've said to not ask for more, better, or different sex or affection, but I'm an affectionate person.
No, wait. Love, affection, time, or sex. Those are the four things you can't ask for. More, better, different love, more, better, different time, more, better, different attention, time, love, affection, time, and sex. When you ask for those, that puts you in a mothering position, which turns him off. What you can say to him, make an appointment for a discomforting situation, subject matter wise, and what you want him to know about it. The more you respect the man when you're sharing your pain with him, the better he can hear you. The more you're criticizing him, the less he can hear you and keep you. His job in life is to get away from his mother. Our job in our life is to attract men to take care of us, to cherish us, starting with dad.
Now, I'm an affectionate person. Can I freely give affection?
What?
I said I'm an affectionate person. More affectionate than he is.
But do you want him to feel respected or cherished? What does he want?
Respect.
Well, if you want to be respectable, you have to make an appointment before you give, protect, cherish, before you teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question him. You have to make an appointment, or you're mothering him. And when you're mothering him, you're disrespecting him.
Now, what about just giving affection? Kisses and touching?
Wait a minute. by the age of 10, little boys don't want to be kissed or hugged unless they give permission.
Oh.
So may I suggest that you say, honey, I just am so attracted to you. I want to give you a big hug. What do you think?
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow, that changes
everything. Is mothering masculine or feminine?
It's masculine.
Yes. So when you can touch a man's body over the age of 10, he may not appreciate it, even if you intend well. You would do well to make an appointment. Son, I want to give you a big hug. What do you think? Okay, Mom. He can do that. But if you grab him and you hug him, don't be surprised if he pushes. What did you push me away for? He doesn't know, but what he's saying is, don't molest me with affection.
Oh, wow. So even like a kiss when you come home, like, oh, honey, it's good to see you. Welcome home with a kiss.
And you know what? You make a contract for it. Son, what do you think about us giving a hug and a kiss when I come home? What do you think about that, son?
Okay.
You see what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
Do not touch a man's body over the age of 10 without his approval. It's disrespectful.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense. He's very much a man, and it's the first time I've ever been a real man.
I appreciate that.
And it's so different.
I know it is, but the more he's respected, the better cherishing you will get. That's a promise.
Okay, I got it. All right. That's what I needed to hear. Thank you.
Good
Thanks,
girl.
Thanks, caller. Good luck.
Bye. Thanks.
Amazing, and that's very interesting too. You know, you don't think about that, making that contract for if that's how you want to greet him, to make sure that.
Hello.
Hi, caller. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen.
I wonder how many grandmas are out there.
Oh, great!
Their grandson has wiped the kiss off his face.
I'm pretty sure a lot, Dr. Allen. I'm pretty sure you've got that right up there, down pat. Caller, you're on live, Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do, yes, and it's a pretty grim one. My friend, my very close friend, she was supposed to have a baby in 2 weeks, so it was almost done. And unfortunately, it died due to some umbilical cord complication, whatever that means. So she is just devastated, and I just wanted to call and ask how, you know, what I can do to, you know, I know I can't make it better, obviously, but like, how should I approach the situation with a friend like you, so that it's helping and not making it worse?
There's a wonderful book, and it's called How to Survive the Loss of a Love.
The Loss of a Love?
Yes.
How to Survive the Loss of a Love.
I don't
have the author's name, but it's a very concise, sensitive book about surviving the loss of a love, which is what he's going through.
Oh, is it the same even though it was never born?
What?
Is it the same? Does it apply even though this is a child that was basically never born?
Oh, I think yes.
That mother and child have had a relationship for a better part of a year.
Yeah.
Every kick, every push is love. It just is such a wonderful book about surviving the loss of a love.
So, should I just get her the book then?
Why not?
Okay.
Yeah, it's really a really super devastating time for her because, like Dr. Allen said, that mother and child bond every minute they're connected together, not only, you know, by an umbilical cord, but by the emotional, hormonal. I mean, the whole time that the child is in there growing and the mother's expecting it to be born, there, it changes nothing that it hadn't been born first. My aunt had a stillborn child, and even when she just passed away last year, was one of the last things she talked about, and it had been like 45 years. So, yeah, not something that I'm not sure anyone ever really gets over it.
Well, yeah, what's nice about this book is it's psychologically and philosophically sensitive to the loss of a love. Do you know what I mean? It's not just, oh, you can have another baby. You know, it's not practical. It's spiritual. I think it's written by a religious person.
Okay.
Anyways, what came to my mind.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm just in shock because she told me this morning and I didn't know that this was even possible, but apparently when babies die inside, the person still has to physically birth them.
That is correct.
So that's absolutely, I can't imagine. That must be just horrifying. So, okay, well, thank you. I will get her the book then. I will see her tomorrow. And
you might want to read it so that you can share it with her.
Oh, really?
It's not a big book.
No? Okay.
You'll be able to understand sort of what she's going through, and then if she needs to talk, you'll be able to articulate with her because you've read it too.
Yeah. That's actually a really good idea. Okay. Well, yeah. I guess that's the best I can do because I know you can't say anything that makes it better.
Right.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling. Welcome. We hope it goes well for you and your friend.
Oh, I hope so, too. Thank you.
You bet.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks, caller. Wow. Okay. We've got another call coming in here. We are on fire tonight.
Hello?
Hey, caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. I better walk out of this store, but I just had a question about, I had called a few times about the same situation where a man was dating me, and then after like 9 months, I found out he was married, so then I broke it off with him, and I did say, I probably shouldn't have said, but I was like, well, if you're ever divorced, you know, you can contact me, but now he's filed for divorce, moved out, and is contacting me, but I really don't want to communicate with him anymore. I'm kind of afraid to talk to him.
Why
not?
Just
feels like
what?
He seems like just a dishonest person. I'm just not really.
I got news for you. He's doing the best he could. Did you people have good chemistry?
Yeah, I had good chemistry. But
then why would you not get together at least to see what his intentions are?
Yeah, I guess just during the relationship, it seemed like he was maybe with other women. It seemed like he was with other women besides me as well. And I've seen him on dating sites.
I understand that he made mistakes. And I also understand that you said to him, quote, if you ever get divorced, let me know.
Mm-hmm.
He did just exactly that. You may have inadvertently helped him understand that he shouldn't and couldn't date many women, that he had to make a choice. As a matter of fact, I did the same thing once. I was invited out to lunch by somebody,
mm-hmm.
and they asked me to go on a trip. And I said, you're married. I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he got a divorce. We never got together. But I'm saying to you that he was doing the best he could by trying to be happy beside married. And you may have said something about, I can't be with you because you're married, that was virtuous and inspired him to get a divorce.
Mm-hmm. He did. Well, he filed, but he's not totally divorced yet.
Well,
so that could take a long time.
Can't have sex or be with him until he is. But the point of what I'm saying is, don't judge people who are clumsily going through their process until you see the ultimate result. Sometimes we don't realize that things we say and do can inspire people to do better.
Mm-hmm.
So why punish them when they do better?
Yeah. I just wasn't sure if I'd, you know, even want to be with him, even if he was divorced at this point.
Okay. If you didn't like him, why did you invite him into your life?
I mean, I did like him when we were going out, even though it made me very anxious, the particular relationship. I just always felt super anxious. My instinct probably knew that something was awry. I guess I was scared meet with him or talk with him at home.
I am too afraid to be with him. Is that true?
Am I now?
I cannot trust him. Is that true? I don't trust anybody until they've earned it. Trust is a projection of perfection that human beings don't qualify for. So when you meet a human being, assume they're not perfect, but see if they're 51% valuable enough to keep.
Yeah.
Judge not.
I guess I was just afraid to talk to him that I would get lured in.
That's fine. Setting boundaries is muscle building.
Yeah, for sure. I built a lot of muscle by saying, no, I won't see you since you're married.
He's on the road to divorce now, and you invited him to meet with you after he got a divorce.
Yeah. Well, since he only filed.
I know that.
Really,
I'm not saying you're getting married tomorrow. What I'm doing is I want to signal you that judging him is just like judging a human being for human beings. He did the best he... Everybody's doing the best they can, even when it's awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah, for sure.
If you have any interest, investigate. If you don't have any interest, don't investigate. But don't blame it on his clumsiness.
Mm-hmm. Now, is it more appropriate to say something, or is it okay to just not
respond?
Well,
what would it say? He called you up and he says, you said that if I got a divorce, you would consider dating me. I filed for divorce. I'm not fully divorced. Would you be willing to have lunch with me to see if there's anything there for us? What would you say?
I don't know. That's what his voicemail said, but I didn't return the call.
What?
That's basically what his voicemail said, but I didn't call him back.
So what would you do now that you're going to call him back? What are you going to say to him?
I'm not sure why I'm so scared to talk to him.
Right now, this minute, what would you say?
I guess I would say no thank you, but thanks for asking.
Okay.
Or I'd rather not.
Then that's where you're at. You invited, he asked, and you said no. That's a transaction.
And since it's a voicemail, is it like I have to call him back to say no? Or
I would, if I were you, complete the transaction.
Yeah.
I know I invited you back, but I don't feel the same.
Yeah. I'm both afraid to talk to him at his voice and everything.
What?
I'm afraid that if I hear his voice, that, you know, he'll get me to meet with him or convince me to meet with him.
I fully understand that. So you're afraid you won't take care of yourself with him. Is that true?
Yes.
Wouldn't that be nice if you learned that you could take care of yourself with him?
Yeah, that would be good.
So you've got a decision about whether to do this as a muscle builder or as I'm afraid to be tested.
Yeah, I am afraid.
Okay. All right.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Pat.
Thank you for calling anyway.
Yeah, thanks, caller.
Thank you, guy or gal.
You bet.
Okay.
All right. Well, that is very interesting. We are out of time, Dr. Allen. I want to remind everybody about our classes. Go to oneistore.com and find out about them. They're upcoming, and people are asking about dreams and asking about our life script classes. And they're asking about talking about that on the radio. We cannot, but Dr. Allen does offer appointments for dreams and life script, and you can get information at information@drpatallen.com about that. Dr. Allen, real quick before we go, what have you got to say?
The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are by the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
We love you, everyone. We'll be back next week. Tune in and be with us. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.